Hi, welcome to my podcast. I'm Dr. Lauren Goodall. I'm a clinical psychologist, and this is Psychology in Short. Today's topic, sometimes I come across a topic and I say, hey, you know, are there psychological implications? And this was certainly one of them. And it's a common topic, but it is not, without its potential glitches. And I said, okay, I want to grab this topic and at least discuss it, because I think it's psychologically relevant. And you say, okay, what is this topic? This is the topic of being a sperm donor. First, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the requirements, and then I'm going to go from there. All right, some of the basic requirements. I'll start with being an egg donor. An egg donor requirement is you must be 21 years of age, okay? And a woman gives out six eggs max, you're done. Okay, with being a sperm donor, it is a different equation, okay? A sperm donor can basically service up to 10 families, okay? I'm not talking about 10 individuals. I said 10 families. Okay, some families will have two or three children with the same donor. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about what's involved here. Okay, as you can see already, there is a big discrepancy in terms of, you know, how eggs are handled and how sperm is handled. Apparently, there's a lot more room for influence with the sperm donation in terms of it being widespread. 10 families is really quite a bit when you get to think about it. All right. If you talk to, and I came across different articles, and they confirmed some of my thought process on this as well. Do I think there's a need for this? Of course there is. Do I see that families can benefit from this process? Absolutely. I think the big question is how you go about it. And understanding all the potential pitfalls. I'm going to at least cover some of the basics with you, because I think it does matter. And I'm going to start with the requirements in terms of the banks, okay? The sperm banks say, hey, okay, we do, you know, serious genetic testing. We do psychological testing. And, of course, we want that genetic testing being done. We want to rule out big gun diseases. We do not want to be passing horrible diseases to children. That needs to be done. And they also say we do some psych testing as well. And of course, that's relevant. I think they use some screening measures, although one article I was reading, they say, hey, we know these donors better than most women do. And I'm saying, hey, not so fast, okay? I think that, you know, I think the intention and the intention is good. Let's just say that. But I'm also going to say that if you know anything about science, meaning if you've ever read any science critically, then you will understand that error is built into science, meaning science is never perfect. And I say, how can I say that? Because treatments over time and decades change. Okay, some of the pieces for certain diseases, we're looking in one spot, and then we say, maybe here's another influence that's coming from this end. Okay, so even though intentions can be spotless, science is not spotless and science is not perfect. There is an error rate that does occur. Psychology is the same thing. You can do different testing measures, but you have to also be aware of what the limitations with these testing measures are, because there are always limits. And the best assessments are those that are done over time. Okay, and the reason I say that, in different venues of getting, and I think that, to be fair, the sperm banks have tried some different venues, although some of them have me scratching my head. Okay, you have to be able to write an essay, apparently. I'm not crazy about that, okay? I'm like, really? I would be interested in some evidence-based piece that says, proves that this individual is high-functioning, adaptable, happy, does well, healthy. Nice personality, you know, at least average IQ. That's what I would be looking for, okay? And what you find is that these banks, they are selling. They say, hey, this is a great market. There is a real need here. Yes, there is, right? But once they say, hey, we only take the top 1% of sperm donors, let's pause on that for a minute. How many, when you look at men, successful men, okay, people with a modicum, reasonably successful men that you see in the world that are doing well, okay, you say, oh, there's a fair amount, but stop there. They only want to take the top 1% of their donors. And if you look around, most of the world isn't saying, hey, I want to be a donor. Yet there are these myths saying medical students are the ones making these donations. That's myth. You think these guys going to med school want to take the time to do this or even closely interested in it? Not. Okay, let's break that myth by using some common sense, people. Okay, so that's not happening. And so when these banks are saying, hey, we take the top 1%, who are you really attracting? Let me tell you some of the things that can slide through, even with the best intentions, okay? Because there is no perfect testing. And we, in psychology, we use many different tests to evaluate. And quite honestly, they say, well, we've got psychologists. Well, that's nice, okay? But some types of things can get past even psychologists, okay? So, what are we talking about? I'm talking about narcissists. When you say top 1%, genuine narcissists, like malignant narcissists, are going to be like, hey, I think I have Olympic grade sperm. I'm going to be a donator for 10 families. Okay. So, okay. Alert. Narcissism. Okay. That's a potential. Another type of personality disorder, because now we're thinking about 18-year-olds, okay? And some go into their 20s, whatever. But some of these people haven't aged in to certain disorders. Personality disorders aren't aged in at 18. Well, I should say they can be, but they can be very easily overlooked. That's like the starter program, okay? So you say, okay, let's just move this age up a little bit because some of these donors are up to 40 years old, okay? But say the bulk probably are in their 20s and 30s is probably what I would guess. But keeping in mind, here's a problem. Certain conditions like personality disorders, narcissism is one. Sociopaths, you're probably not going to pick up on. Those are people who like saying, hey, can I dupe the system? Okay, can I get by? Oh, this is kind of interesting, right? That can also be in the picture. Schizophrenia. What is schizophrenia? Schizophrenia is when you have is a serious psychiatric condition. It doesn't even factor in the equation until your mid-20s to late-20s. Okay, so a younger donor isn't even going to be aware of this problem. They, you know, for lack of better knowledge, they're just unaware, okay? Because the one recommendation I would say is let's up the age on this, okay? At least make it to your 30s so you can see where this person, how this person functions, how they adapt in life. A lot of what people have been apparently looking for is college degrees, okay? But even bigger than that, there's this article by the Atlantic Science. Apparently there's a career path people are interested in. And this was done on 9/11/2020. It said by Sarah Zhang, one sperm donor, 36 children, and a mess of lawsuits. This fella decided to say he was a genius who spoke four languages. He had an IQ of 160. Okay, so let's just stop there for a second. For people who think smarter is better, there are implications in terms of being a great scientist. Scientists are great for absorbing information, wonderful fact knowledge. They learn fast. That's all great. But they also don't all have common sense, okay? Or a large emotional range. In fact, pretty narrow emotional range. I would say most scientists like to stay in the box, meaning they're not going to take the time to do linguistics, like speaking four languages. That got me straight out of the gate, okay? Scientists like to stay in the box of science, okay? That's where they're comfortable. That's where they want to go. They don't migrate, folks, okay? And then they said this guy said he also looked like Tom Cruise. So I find that interesting because now he has, you know, now the looks are in the situation, the career's in the situation. And so you really have to think about, you know, what you're looking for. Geniuses aren't necessarily the answer, okay? What you need is a non-disturbed individual who can function in life, who has a good IQ, at least an average IQ. Say you don't want him to struggle learning, but an average IQ, an adaptive individual, a good, healthy person. But now we're throwing height, weight requirements. I love that one article by the 10 Things to Know About Being a Sperm Donor by the New York Times in 16. Your every physical feature will be scrutinized. Basically, nobody qualifies. Is that what we're saying? Kind of crazy. So the question also then goes to the people. You know, when you're looking to have a child, are you trying to pick them like a designer bag or something? Are you trying to have a daughter that looks like Barbie? Is that your goal set? And now that question is, why? Okay, and how healthy is that? So there are plenty of great people in this world that come in all different shapes and sizes and such. But when you start trying to create, you know, it's one thing to say, okay, I want to stay in the basic family color line, okay, whatever, okay? But this is a little bit crazier than that. This is saying, hey, we only take the top 1% and you're going to expect to get scrutinized this way, this way, and this way. This is a pretty tough gig. But besides that, their access, there are articles. This one was in New York Times, the case of the serial sperm donor out of 2021, fathered 102 children in the Netherlands. Okay. And these people, although in 2005, so you're seeing a lot of kids, one donor, 36 kids, 10 families, you start doing the math. There was a fella out, oh, this one was also in the Netherlands, I guess he fathered more than 550 children. Okay, so now there's more laws and regs, although they say that the legal regulations aren't real tight in the U.S. And I don't know. I assume they're sticking, though, with their 10-family parameter. So when you're looking at some of this and you're seeing the potential for your child to be half siblings with so many other children. If 10 families have access to this donor, you really need to think about what that would be like for your child. Okay, they say these donors remain anonymous, but I like what they did in the UK in 2005. They said, guess what? If you want to be a donor, you don't get the ability to stay anonymous. I think that made sense. If you want to have that much influence, you cannot be anonymous. Whereas in most of the other banks, the anonymity, so the person can stay anonymous until the kids are 18, and then the kids can start finding you. And you can imagine now how you integrate this person into your world. Perhaps it's always a possibility, right? When they find them, but, you know, as we have all these DNA programs out there, links out there, what is it going to mean for your child to be related to so many people as half-sibs? So there are people that get through the system, and then there are people who, like I said, there's some risk involved in this. You can run. Obviously, there's more than one of these guys who says they are a neuroscientist, doctor of neuroscience. That seems to be the career path they put down. But like I said, you're going to run more at risk. If they want to be a neuroscientist, they're going to run risk for being Asperger's. And yes, there's a lot of brilliant people who have some degree of Asperger's. Okay, look, every person based on their field is going to have a certain propensity, and you have to take that into the equation. But picking people by their careers or potential careers, I'm just saying that from a psychological standpoint, some pieces don't emerge until the mid or late 20s, okay? Some, like schizophrenia, like delusional pieces. That's an important piece. You really have to understand that doesn't show up immediately out of the gate. As do the personality disorders. They don't necessarily show up at 18, okay? They may show up in their 20s, further down the road. So you are at more at risk to have this in play. Whereas, differently, I'm just looking at this other article, New York Times, one sperm donor, 150 offspring. I mean, keeping in mind 10 families of influence, and if there's an error rate, it really got my attention. Now, some people say, hey, I want all these kids to have the same father, meaning they said, hey, your child can have two or three children with the same donor in the same family. So here's the question. What if there's an error? Okay. What if there's a significant problem with something in this individual? Something. Okay. And now it has now spread to two or three individuals. For me, that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. Okay. So you're running risks that way. And whereas if you knew someone who knew someone, when I say more evidence-based, someone you know who may be willing to help you out once or twice, and you know they're already functioning, and you know they're already adaptive, and you know that their IQ is intact, and you know something about these people, I think there's definitely a case for that. So I'm not saying this is right or wrong, and I do know that being a sperm donor really opens doors for a lot of women who would otherwise not have an option, families, all different sorts of families. I get it and I respect it. But I'm going to say that if you're going to go into this, you need to understand that perfection isn't is not in the equation. And when these banks are saying, hey, we only take the 1%, oh, wow, okay, it still has the potential to be flawed, okay? There is such a thing as forensic psych testing. I'd like to see some of that, okay? That might be a better get. But let's also think about psych conditions that aren't going to materialize until people are in their mid to late 20s. We want to factor all that into the equation, and quite honestly, it looks like there's a loophole here. So in the interest of having very, sperm with vitality, they're going for younger sperm. But, you know, all these pieces need to be factored in, you know. They can give you, I think one other place was saying, hey, you know, we have an art project. I was kind of blown away. I was like, I really think that people need to understand that there are a lot of, kids that could be adopted in this world that would really benefit from your influence, that may not be a designer look, so to speak, but you could really bring a positive influence into that equation. And you might want to think about that. And like I said, I'm not against sperm donation, but I am telling you, there are problems and there are legal cases, okay? Because there are problems with these kids that get missed. Especially if the person's going to develop delusions or what have you, you know, that's not going to happen till mid or late 20s if you're going to see that. And so maybe some of these, so it's cause for consideration. And certainly you can look these up. You can see all these different cases of serial sperm donors and how many people and how much influence they have. And really, does one person really want to be realize that they had all these kids or be in contact with all these kids? You really need to think about that, especially in the area of half-sibs, which your child would experience. Do they really want to say they could be related to 30-plus other children? So definitely something to think about. And of course, all I'm saying is there are error rates in all of this stuff. And you might as well think about that as you're participating in the process. But I don't think essays are necessarily the answer. I'm saying you got to have more evidence base. But the people also put some of these demands on there, you know, in terms of, you know, they're picking, oh, I want somebody who's got going in this career path or that career path. No, what you really want is probably an average IQ, so you know that they can learn at least, right? You want a healthy, adaptive child that can function in the world. So when you set up these designer requirements, these companies are following your lead. So, you know, based on the fact that they're only taking, quote, the 1%, look at all these other successful people that may not meet their facial height or weight requirements, which is most of us, by the way. So, just something to think about. And get out of the idea that, you know, because these tests are put in place, everything is perfect. Clearly, there's legal cases going on because things are not perfect, and then you have to deal with them. But certainly think about the psychological implications, because psychological implications matter for your child. And I say, you know, you want to minimize as much risk, or at least think about all the potentials that could play out in this type of scenario. You know, the more knowledge you have, the better off you're going to be. And, you know, and like I said, there's always the idea of knowing somebody who knows somebody who may help you out in a situation, a lot more grunt work, so to speak. But, you know, you aren't thinking about circles of influence and how many half-sibs, you know, because I think a successful man is not necessarily thinking about being a donor. That would be something that they would really, really have to think about. So the articles talk about altruism. Well, our donors are all altruistic. What that means is they want to help other people. Well, there's a fine line between altruism and narcissism, and somehow this gate can be opened and has been opened. So you best be aware if this is the venue in which you are wishing to build your family. Think about the psychological influences beyond what your child may look like, okay? As a psychologist, I think it's far more important to have a child that feels good, is healthy, and can learn, and they can develop their own career path. But, you know, I think I came across two articles where people were chasing neuroscientists. Well, just remember, you might be chasing Asperger's behavior, and everything has a limitation. So be well read, at least before you go into this process. And more importantly, it may be very important for you to have a child, but you have to think about what it's going to mean for this child and in terms of having X amount of half siblings, you know, and so that is something to factor into your equation, and they will find them, and we live in the day and age where they will find them. And I don't know what you want to say about who this donor is, you know. There was this guy, you know, it could be a little touchy. And yet, I'm sure it's very rewarding, and some people will swear by it. I'm just saying, as a psychologist, a little cautionary note, okay? Let's not make professions and eye color and hair color and height and weight the thing we are chasing. Let's look for some more evidence base of somebody's functioning, how they treat people. I think that's much more important. Okay. So with that, I'm going to close up. And I guess before I do, I am going to say, for those of you who are not aware, I have a book out. It's called Bipolar is Not an STD. It's available on Amazon. And if you like the way I think or present issues, you will probably like the book. I think it's a fair assessment. All right. Well, thank you for joining me. And I look forward to having you back on another cast.